What up, everybody? It's your boy Jay, and this is another episode of Random Shit Podcast.
You already know.
All right. I didn't even get a chance to introduce him. He already jumping in the gun. Holden Pablo.
What's up, guys?
Not much. I see you decked out like me with the anime, you know, all One Piece. You got that Rick and Morty. All right, I see you. And speaking about anime, this episode, we're going to talk about one of the most controversial animes in 2020. Mm-hmm. Uzaki Wants to Hang Season 1.
Ooh.
All right, so it's kind of funny how we did this because the first time I show Uzaki Wants to Hang, first thing he says, bro, why are you showing me this hentai anime? And I said, no, and I'm telling him, no, it's not hentai. I promise you, it has some crazy scenes, but it has a message to it.
Yeah.
And I'm just leaving it alone right there.
I made a whole TikTok because I was like, bro, what is this like? But I mean, you know, that's why we're talking about it, because there's obviously more to it than what the person, the regular viewers see it as. But yeah, when I first watched it, I was like, what the hell? What in the hentai porn is this?
Yeah, that TikTok, that actually happened in my apartment. That actually happened.
Right.
What type of porn is this? But anyways, what are your thoughts of season one of that show?
My overall thoughts, I think,
yeah, just really, overall thoughts, and then just explain why, and I'll just jump right in.
I think it was really entertaining. I think it was really funny, lighthearted. I really like anime like that because, you know, there's so much serious stuff in the world, right? There's so much like things going on, and it's good to laugh. You know, I think that's the best part. I expected a little bit more though, I'm not gonna lie, after the anime was done. But learning that there was more volumes and more to the anime, you know, more than just season one, it makes me excited to, you know, maybe get into the mangas of the anime, you know, to see more of the adventures, because like they went on trips, they did adventures and stuff. And there was very subtle things. Like if you don't really pay attention to animes like that, like you won't be able to catch it. So I think there was really subtle stuff in the anime that people don't really realize. Until you tell them.
All right. Well, I want to say this. It is a crazy anime for me because I don't watch this type of anime. You know, I like to watch the ones where, you know, hand-to-hand combat, Naruto, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, I'm with the smoke with all the fighting shows. But
right.
This is my first slice of life anime I have ever watched. And the people who don't know what slice of life, it's pretty much a non-fictional tale. That's what they say in Japanese, like how in America is non-fiction. They're on the slice of life. If out of a 10, I'll give it a six, seven, eight. Like a seven, mostly a seven.
You want to give it a 7 out of 10?
Yes, and the reason why, because yes, guys, I wrote all the notes. I had like a whole 30 minutes to myself, wrote all notes and everything. So I'm going to break down the pros and cons, and then why society, i.e. Twitter, was having a whole, you know, explosion of hatred. So I'm going to start with the pros, obviously, what's good about the show. It has an excellent storyline to start in the beginning of the anime, and I like it. I like it. The storyline is a guy, Sorakai, and he met this girl, Saki. So, you know, he's just paying her no mind. Everything is good. He doesn't know anything about... We don't know anything. We're like, okay, that's a girl and a guy. They met for the first time. Okay, cool. Not knowing they had a history before the show began.
Right.
Which I like it. The character development was very fair. It's balanced out. And what I mean by it's balanced out, it showed you this, like this, it showed you the, I don't want to say foreshadowing, it shows you the past and the present. And the reason why I say it's balanced out, because Naruto, like I'm gonna make up, but I don't know if you, we could do like a different review for Naruto, but Naruto is full of fillers. Dragon Ball, full of past fillers.
Right.
But in this situation, it was like, okay, I can understand why she said this, why she said this, why she said this, while we're knowing what's going on. It also gives you the hints about the type of character they are. Like, for example, Usagi is represented by like the fun, bubbly, feminine female, where she just wants to hang out with everybody, be friends. She's the vibrant type. Whereas Surikai is like, he's just the quiet, talented, keeps lonely, to himself. Exactly, kicks to the shelf. Yeah. And then obviously everybody's like his friend, he's like the wingman of the group. He's like, yo, I'm gonna help you out. Your life, no offense, is kind of boring, but you know, give us some.
So it's kind of like that's a good thing. The main characters, Uzaki, and then what's the guy's name again?
Sakurai.
Like they're like complete opposites, and people in the anime, like the other characters, notice that. That's why I also thought it was funny and creepy that like all the characters are pretty much like watching their lives and just like eating it up like popcorn. Like they literally were pretending to eat food if they didn't have food in front of them. Mm. And they were just like seeing how their interactions were, you know, and how they were engaging with each other, and how Uzaki was bringing the best out of the other character, the guy, and just, you know, it was kind of in the beginning though, I'm not gonna lie, like she was definitely forcing it, because in real life, like, I don't believe girls are going to just come up to you and force that on you to be friends. Oh, yeah. But she just, it was also because though, like people, if you just watch it in the beginning, it's like, all right, they don't know each other like that, but they had history. And then it goes more in depth into that history of what they've been through together. So it makes sense in the end when they hang out a lot more and they really like each other, like being around each other. I'm saying.
Of course that's always, yeah, that's it. Another reason why I say that, speaking about you saying the last episode of that show, mm-hmm. it leaves a lot of cliffhangers for like for example, it had the episode where the mom was like interested in Surikai, because not only she thinks that he was surely mistaken that he likes her in a loose term, mm-hmm. but is like. He's more interested, like you say, he's more interested in hanging out and starting to get to know Uzaki, even though it's been like, what? I think it was like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. when they first met. I also believe that more characters are going to come. And when I'm saying more characters, because there's a friend, an older friend, who was in the swimming team when Surikai and Uzaki first met. I feel she's gonna come out of nowhere,
right,
and just steal Surikai from Uzaki, and that's what I think is gonna have like some type of a competition, like a conflict. Yeah, conflict/competition between Uzaki and her friend.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you, because like after watching just that one season, nothing really happened. But the only thing that I would say happened is they obviously got closer. And they kind of, I don't know if you got this, but they kind of told each other that they love each other without really saying it to each other directly. Like they didn't say, I love you. But they said it in ways where both of them understood, like they actually like each other. And that's the thing I hate about anime and love about anime, is that like the characters are scared to reveal their feelings to each other. And I watched this in other animes, like love animes and stuff like that. And it's like, they, you know, if one person's drunk and they reveal something and then another person isn't, it's like they just, you know, they both know how they feel, but they don't express it. So it's still like a hidden thing, you know?
All I got, and the final thing I want to say before I give you the mic of the pros about it, if you want to add in the details, is the animation.
Oh,
I will give it 10. Not even a 10, 100 out of 10.
Animation was great.
I have never seen clean animation like that, bro. But wow, even the new Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah. All right, I don't know about that though. You don't want to compare it to Dragon Ball Super.
The animations are better. I gotta say they're cleaner than Dragon Ball Super,
bro. But the thing is, bro, like it's not an action though. Dragon Ball Super, there's more stuff going on. A regular anime.
No, I'm not talking about story. I'm talking about the animation.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the animation too. Like what makes you think like that animation is really that good compared to Super though?
I mean, the way they react, like different things, like the reaction, the crease on the clothes. I mean, it's a little more. They took their time to do that.
Right.
Is there anything else you want to add for the pros for that show before we start going to the cons?
I'm just gonna add, like you said, I guess the details of the animation were pretty good, especially like the funny scenes, right? And you know how animes have those little scenes where like they change up the animation. So I guess they have like a lot of that too. Really funny. And I know what we're gonna talk about with the cons is kind of what I want to talk about. Not just cons, but what people think are cons. And then we can kind of, interpret. So I'm going to let you go into it.
All right. So this is my version of cons. I'm not dealing with the society. This is, in my opinion, my cons of the show.
All right. I'll give mine when you're done, too.
Okay. First thing, I don't like the predictability. I hate predictability. Yeah. That is my number one for cons. I hate the predictability. And the first thing, and I wrote a couple of them. The jokes and the humor were a little too predictable, and the suspense and punchlines were obvious. And I'm gonna give you two examples why I said I don't like the predictability. In episode 2, and Uzaki got stuck in a tree, and she's asking Sakurai to help her unstuck. And when he grabbed her in a way, and it shows the part where I don't know what, and this is why I said like the animation. It shows her animation of her the skirt, and then like the transparency.
I have that part I'm just, in my phone.
And I'm just like, come on, man, why would you do that? Come on, we get the fact you're holding her hips, and the one that threw me off. Was when he turned, but when he looked at her, like when he looked at her back and he turned away and he said, oh, she feels so slim. I said, oh, come on. You just ruined the joke. Come on, man.
Right, right.
Why?
So it's kind of like, man? For me, going along with that kind of, because I agree with you, that's a con. I just think they overdid it a little bit. Like there's some parts where I think, okay, that's funny with the sexual stuff that they added to the show. You know, the big titties, we can't do nothing about that. With or without that, I guess. And then the main, the whole thing around the main character looking like a little girl, but she was in college. Besides all that, because I know we're probably going to dive into that more. I think that they just overdid the scenes a little bit too much. Like that one in the tree, he slapped her butt and then he tried to grab her out. Like it was a little too much. Like it was kind of like, it wasn't even funny. At one point, I mean, it was when he said, get that ass out of here. That shit was at me dying. But after that, it was kind of like, all right, like we could skip the scene. There's nothing significant here,
Hold that thought, because I'm going to discuss about how everybody in society was like all asshole about that. So hold that thought for me. Right.
Got you.
The second one was in episode 6 where Sorokai, Uzaki, and the friends Amy and Ushido playing the summer beach game with the watermelon. When he was blindfolded and Uzaki was like going in front of him just to mess around, and he tripped on the sand, and he's like, what feels so squishy? Is that the watermelon touching?
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that everyone was like, oh... and the guy's like, oh, what a coincidence. And it shows his hand literally on her boobs. I'm just like, come on, man. Why would you do that? Why? And and especially the fact that there's actually people around. And I'm just like, come on, you didn't have to do that. Because, I mean, like, literally, if this, and they call this a slice of life, if someone literally did that, and she screamed, like, the way she screamed, that guy would have got his ass whooped.
Yeah, another.
For sure.
Again, it's like another scene where, like, it was just dragged on for too long. Like, he's touching her boobs or something, and she's embarrassed, and, you know, they try to, like, play it off where, like, he didn't know what he was touching or whatever, and you could say like that highlights, you know, him being immature and needing to grow up because he's never touched a girl's boobs. Like it could be significant more than the tree thing scene. However, it's like they just made it way too long. Like it was like a couple of minutes and it was just like, all right, like we get it, you know, like could have like that scene could have been like, you know, let's say he trips or something, or not even at the beach, like, but like he trips, he touches it real quick, and then he's like, oh shit, my bad.
Yeah.
And then, like something quick, like really quick, it still would have meant just as significant. So,
but that man was holding it more than a minute. That's the thing. Which,
yeah, and he kept like grabbing it. Like,
which, what you saying, which another thing, which that leads to my second con, unrealistic. There's some parts that are a little unrealistic,
very unrealistic.
Like, for example, the first episode, which I know for a fact, where he was in a mall. Mm-hmm. A mall. Think about it. A mall had a lot of people in the department store, like GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using the VR. And instead of saying, okay, well, it must be, you know, oh, it must be something real. He's actually waving around. Obviously, Uzaki doing the same thing. Well, obviously, the delay's like, oh, miss, can you step back? Before you even get a chance to step back, boom. Here we go. Hand on the breast. Again, right. And my man is massaging it, and she's screaming on the top of her lungs. And I'm surprised. Nobody, no consequence, and you're just walking out like nothing ever happened. Even when he took off the VR saying, oh, I can't believe it has a touchy feeling. He didn't even look at her, and while she's looking all like tensed and frozed up, when right. The lady's like, ma'am, are you okay? Yeah, yeah. Unrealistic.
Very unrealistic. Like it kind of shows like, again, like the anime characters are shy, right? And that's what anime tries to highlight, a lot of that shyness and that kind of culture. But like in reality, I think even in Japanese culture, like, you know, that wouldn't happen. Like,
yeah, that would definitely not happen.
Yeah, like.
And the last thing I want to say, this is like kind of like a question I have for like the suspense. Uzaki, okay, I see the brother, I see Uzaki,
yeah,
I see the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell's the dad?
I think it's another typical thing where like they don't include the dad for some reason. Some odd reason.
I mean, it might be a backstory to what happened to her dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find that a little I just find that's a little too crazy.
Right.
But anything you want to add before I get on to why everybody was getting so hype and what's the four main reasons why everyone was getting so hype and why I debunked that?
Yeah, I mean, these points that you made are pretty, I pretty much agree with them. You know, very unrealistic. Some of the scenes were dragged on. I just feel like, you know, they could have did a better job of getting straight to the point with what they were trying to do. And hopefully like the newer seasons that they'll have or the manga will be a little bit better than season one, because I think season one was a great introduction to like them, you know, getting to know each other and, you know, you kind of knowing their backstory a little bit, even though with Uzaki a little bit, like, I don't like, I might have to talk to you a little bit more about this, but like the scenes with her mom, like sometimes I get a little confused with that. So,
oh, you know, wow. I didn't add that there. Thanks. I didn't see that. I didn't, that one was a blind side to me. But that's another con. I kind of feel that's a little bit too weird.
Right. The whole thing with like his mom, her mom, I wouldn't say she was flirting with him, but she was thinking that he was flirting with him, her. But, and then she was kind of entertaining it a little bit. It was kind of like,
I mean, it wasn't, I don't say it's more entertainment. It's more like she misunderstood him because she was like lonely for so long, especially the fact that he was looking at the pet cats that Uzaki's mom have.
Yeah,
instead of looking at her chest, which, okay, I'm not gonna lie, mom have big breasts, Uzaki big breasts, hereditary, which I understand, I get it, but you could tell he wasn't talking about that when she overheard it in a couple episodes where he's like, oh well, is she looking at the cat? So Uzaki's mom, So you're just flustering the fact that he's talking about your cats instead of down there.
Right. That's the other weird thing too. Like, why are the cats there? You know, it's just random ass, weird ass cats. Like how I kept seeing that cat. And I thought it was funny at first. Like every time a scene happened, it showed that weird cat, right? Like looking like, but then it just kept showing it. And I'm like, there has to be a good reason why they keep putting cats. If they just put cats in there just to put cats, that's just ridiculous. Like, there's no reason why those cats should be in there like that.
I mean, I think I could be wrong, but I think in Japan, cats are like considered as like the highest like pet, I think.
Yeah.
Like how we, like how in America, like most, a lot of people get dogs and stuff while,
right.
While like in the Japan culture is cats.
I got you. So that's like the main thing for them. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely like, get that, but it was just weird why they had the cat always, like, you know, it was cool that they used the cat as a bonding thing, but like the weird cat reactions were a little like unnecessary to me.
Like even I wonder if that's like kind of like a traditional thing for like Japan, because like I said, there's certain countries that like uses different animals for like symbolism.
Right.
So I wonder if that's their symbolism. But other than that, as I agree, they that whole reaction thing with the cat, they gotta like at least reduce that part. They have to. They got to do that.
And speaking back to the mom and stuff, I think maybe the dad not being there, right? Maybe we can kind of analyze without even knowing the rest of the manga or whatever, that like maybe her dad not being there is kind of why they're like that. Like Uzaki is probably really outgoing because maybe she sees that her mom like lacks that, you know, her mom was kind of shy and stuff, and then Uzaki was very outgoing, so maybe she brought that energy because maybe she saw her mom upset about maybe the dad either dying or divorce or whatever, the dad not being there, you know what I'm saying? So that could be something that, you know, people don't really realize, right? Like the family dynamic within her own family.
I mean
the dynamic within her own family, and then like how she has become this outgoing person, and then it kind of ties into, you know, that she met this guy that is super serious, the opposite of her, and she just wants to bring out the best in him, I guess.
So I mean, I see where you're coming from, but I have another angle to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also thinking that she's looking at Surikai. And this is, we're talking about Uzaki's case, not the mom.
Right.
Where we've been past that stage. But I think Uzaki looks at Surikai a little bit more than just a boyfriend material, but kind of like a dad figure, because every time she uses, she don't say Surikai or Surikai or Surikai. She uses senpai. And when I search up the word what senpai means, that's basically saying a master. And a master, you kind of take it as more authority, like a parent.
Right.
But if you didn't realize, he don't call her, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, Hana? Or what's up? He call her Uzaki-chan.
Yeah.
So I wonder if she respect Surikai as not only as a boyfriend slash husband material, but as more like a father-like role model for her.
That's a little weird though, right? Because
I mean,
if she is respecting him like a father, she might not see him as like a wanting to be a boyfriend. Or maybe you know, in that culture, that's what
maybe that's wanted, what I'm saying. Maybe
at least the
I that's a good point though. I didn't even realize that, because I know about the senpai thing and the chan thing, like when you add those things, but I didn't realize they said those, that's how they talk to each other. So yeah, maybe the, I think the dad not being in her life though, or whatever the situation happened, is affecting how she sees him as well. Like, you know what I'm saying? That dynamic.
All right. So are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's get right into it.
Oh boy.
The societal issues, right? Like what society, how they, you know, view it and why you debunk it.
Society. You know you done fucked up, right? I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that in a funny way. You know you done fucked up. Society, if you really hate that show so much, the best thing you do is don't watch it at all. Not only you just made the show more famous and you extend the show for season two, but it, I wish I could show you the picture. They literally had a picture of, a fan made a picture of Uzaki laughing and pointing at the, like the fourth wall, basically saying, I just got extended to season two. Ha ha, haters, joke's on you now. If you, just like you did, and this ain't the first time you did this, Society. You did this to High School DxD. You did that to Monster Musume, and now you're doing it to Uzaki. Cut that shit out.
Yeah, hey, I was going to ask you, has this happened before? You just pretty much said
this ain't, like, for fuck's sake, you did that to Asterisk War, and they didn't even show no nudity. You canceled that show for no reason. And this, I got the top four things which I will debunk right now, and you can follow along with me. First thing that I see, I'm just worrying about a girl who has who's short that has big boobs. So you're telling me you're that salty enough that you never went outside in your everyday life and see a short girl with big breasts?
I mean, yeah, that's why, like, really? I mean, it is tough, right? Like, they did make her look really young, and I get why certain people would view it that way. But I think it also reflects that, like, in a way, right, this anime is kind of challenging viewers, I would say, on how they view women, because they were, you know, like, even like the guy, the grandpa, right, or whatever, the owner of the store that she was working at, eventually he thought like she was underage and stuff, but she wasn't, right? And it's because she cut her hair, she's small, yeah, you know? And I think it was kind of like a highlight of her not being the normal kind of girl. Everyone around her is shy, and you know, they look a little older and they act a little more mature, but she acts young, like a little less mature, but she still is mature. She just acts that part and people think, okay, she's a child. So that's kind of how I saw it. Like, she was kind of like challenging how you view a college girl.
All right.
That's how I saw it.
The next one, I'm going to compare this to Game of Thrones, everyone's favorite. The anime was very etchy to a younger audience. Okay, so let's consider this as a true fact. So you would get mad over a girl who has big boobs, and there's some, like, okay, inappropriate scenes. Granted, there's some inappropriate scenes we were not going to understand, but we're just going to deny the fact that Game of Thrones, it shows not only a lot of nudity, but it has, they also perform incest and having sex with different creatures in that show. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about. And everyone, I think, if I could be also wrong, I think they're either nominated or they actually won awards for that.
Yeah, like some of those scenes, right?
Yeah, some of those. Yeah, and that's inside the Game of Thrones series, in the 8 series. It had a show where a brother and sister were having sex. It shows a lot. Definitely shows a lot of news.
So are you trying to say that, like, you know, compared to some other shows, well, specifically anime too, I think
I think it wasn't that bad. If people want to say like, oh, it was terrible, like don't let your kids watch it, like I wouldn't say like it's that bad where it's like, you know, oh, PG-13 type thing. Like, yeah, there are some scenes and some words, but I don't think it was like super duper bad where like they were having sex or like they did anything really nasty, you know?
That's what I'm trying to say, but people are saying it is like not even borderline, edge line to porn. I'm just like, no. Okay, yes, it has some groping and, you know, he took the notepad and slapped the crap out of her butt. Okay, cool. That's granted. But let's count how many inappropriate scenes in Game of Thrones compared to how many are compared to three not even three. One, two, three. I think at least five inappropriate scenes from only a 12 episode series. Mm-hmm. And that's only season one. We're talking 8 seasons of Game of Thrones where almost every single scene has a sex, nudity, and then the first season of Game of Thrones, incest. How I know? I watch all 8 of the Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Because everyone's like, oh, watch Game of Thrones. I'm like, okay, let me see.
Cersei, right? Cersei. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about her. She's nasty.
Exactly. The next one I saw was the chicks that's interrupting a guy's daily lifestyle so she can be more involved in his life. It's a
slice. Wait, say it again. Say it one more time.
The chick, which is Uzaki, is interrupting the guy's daily lifestyle, which is Surikai, mm-hmm. so she can be more involved in his life. Clearly, she likes the guy. She's not going to stand there and just let some other girl pass her by if she likes him.
Right.
If you like somebody and you're trying to you're going to force it. Yeah, you're going to do whatever.
Yeah, shoot your shot. You know?
Yeah, shoot your shot. How would you know? How would you know who, if the girl or guy, mm-hmm. you know, just saying, girl or guy likes you, if you, just what you say, if you don't shoot your shot or just walk up and say, hey, how you doing today? I just want to blah, 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 hey, woody, woo, woo. How would you not know that? And Uzaki, to some extent, even though she did some annoying stuff that will make an average guy mad, mm-hmm. I think she did something. I think she was right.
Yeah, I mean, so in the beginning for me, right, she was kind of annoying. I saw it like that because yeah. I thought about like myself in reality. Like, first of all, I don't think girls just come up to guys like that anyway. So that's the unrealistic part for me. But mm-hmm. let's just say for the sake of argument that, like, you know, someone like her does come up to a guy and they had history and stuff. I thought it was normal. And I think, you know, you watch more of it and you realize, well, you're like, yeah, you know, he could have been left alone. He's a loner. He has all that traits to him. He's quiet, but he is young. He does have friends and he does have potential to do more. So there's also that other part rooting for not just her, but like him to also break out of his shell more. And she is the main factor or reason why that's happening. And she doesn't just affect him. She affects like the girl, like their other friend, the other two friends, which I don't even know if they're going to end up dating or something, but like they end up, you know, like learning a lot from her and in the interaction that she's having with Satori. So it's kind of like she opens up a lot of different, personalities and traits out of these people that we didn't get to see. Because now they're like, not that they're forced to, but she just has that energy. She has that, like, you know, for growth. You know,
charisma.
Charisma. Yeah. Like, and in the beginning, it seemed forced, but it's not forced after they hang out and they do stuff with each other constantly now. So,
that's another thing.
She brings everyone together, you know?
Oh, my bad. I also predict that as well, too. Especially the fact that Amy, which mm-hmm. that's one of the friend's name, is like sticking up to Uzaki, because if you don't realize, she asks more about Uzaki, how you know Surikai, how do you feel about him, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Well, I can't say his name, this name is going to piss me off. Ishuhito, he's sticking more to Surikai because they've been homeboys for X amount of years. And obviously, you know, oh my God, you know, you can't blame all this on Surikai. You know, he's been like this. She signed up. She signed a deal with him, blah, 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 blah. And I feel because of those two sticking up for one another, I feel sooner or later they're going to drop it. They're going to drop everything. When I mean drop everything, not like literally drop what they're doing, but they're going to drop that so-called hate that they have, and they're going to go out.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back, all right, let's talk about the flashback. Remember the flashback where, like, they were, like, training in the pool, and they, like, went out to a festival. Well, they were walking past the festival, and then he got her, like, a corn dog or something. And, like, and then they flash forward back to, like, the present when they're actually at the festival. And obviously that's, like, a good bonding moment. But then you realize in the past, like, they actually did bond a little bit. They just – but they never took it anywhere, you know, after that. So that's the whole reason why Uzaki wants to hang, you know, hence the title, right? Uzaki wants to hang. It's because they hung out before. And it's funny because he actually
enjoyed
her. He enjoyed it, and he actually liked her. And he was about to say something to her, but someone cut them off. And it shows that, like, yeah, in the past, right, he was always this shy. He was always this person. But he actually technically was about to shoot the shot first. Like, they interacted in the pool, right? And it wasn't like a thing where she was forcing her. They're in high school. So when they're in high school, right, it's just like he's swimming. She's swimming. Oh, hey, I need help swimming. Okay, cool, I'll train you, right? It's just interaction. But then when they hung out at the festival in high school, they actually, like, there was a scene I saw, they were like, where he's like, oh, hey, so by the way, he wanted to ask her a question, and it could have been, you know, him shooting a shot, something like that. They got cut off, and then it fast forward, you know, to the present. It goes to the present, and then she's shooting her, you know, her shot. And I think it's funny, too, because not only she remembers that they hung out, but she doesn't know that he at some point used to like her. And it's almost like a restart. So it's almost like, yeah, they have history, but it's a complete restart because now they're in college and they have to develop. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was just high school. That was just a moment that they'll never even remember. But now in high school, in college, they're like, oh, well, we know each other, but now we can build off of that. It's kind of crazy if you think of it like that, but that flies over people's head, I think.
Oh, it definitely does. Another thing that I want to add to that is I also think that even though Uzaki is more like vibrant and all that stuff, I think she's trying to light a broken match. What I mean by that, he's a broken match. When I'm saying he's a broken match, just like what you said, he was going to ask her out in high school. Something or somebody, and the reason why I say that is because he wanted to basically ask her in a way like, okay, well, I want to talk to you real quick. The reason why, because I like you. I feel, and I could be wrong, I feel someone or somebody in his past after Uzaki messed him up and turned out the way he turned out to be. Because he was, like, as you can tell, before when they first met in the swimming team, when the manager and, you know, the swimming team was introduced with the managers, everybody banged with Uzaki. Everybody banged. Like, yo, look at these two hot baddies as managers, blah, 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 blah. And as soon as he walked in high school, yo, Cap was either captain or lieutenant of the swim team. I forgot, but he had a rank. Yo, what's up, Lou? What's up, Surikai? What's up, man? How you doing today? And the instructor's like, look, there's the two new captains. And he just all he just said was, hi, how you doing? I'm just going to go over there and just, you know, take my practice before we win some championships. And then he just, you know, that's it.
Right.
So I feel like I said, I feel that she's trying to, like, light the match and trying to get that broken match on the wooden end and trying to light it up. And I feel she's gonna do that in the later seasons. I feel some way or when he's gonna break. And when I mean break, he's gonna break all the uncertainty, all the shyness, the wall of shyness, the wall of uncertainty, all. Mm-hmm. Because we're gonna admit right now, everybody has those trust issues and the wall of uncertainty,
right?
Including you and I, especially.
Yep, everyone.
Yeah, everybody. And trust me, you would feel uncertain about a female that you never met compared to a person you met for like X amount of years or you mm-hmm. know her. Like, for example, you won't give a random girl your social security number.
Nah.
But if you know this person for 10, 12, 14, 16 years, you'd be like, all right, maybe I might have a chance with her. I know her for so long, and she helped me out for homework. She helped me out with this. She helped me out in bad situations. She gave me money. You would put a chance. And I think that's what's going to happen with Surikai. All that's going to break. He's going to break, and he's going to be like, all right, you know what? I know her for X amount of years. We hang out. She banged with me. There were times she could have done some malicious and vile things, but instead she stayed with me. And I think she proved his uncertainty a little bit was at the time with the festival where he was obviously flirting. Yeah, sorry, no offense, but you gotta work on your game and you gotta work on that game.
He needs to work on a lot of stuff. He's very socially awkward. You could tell he's never really interacted with any girls. I mean, he admitted he never even had.
Not even socially, but just like charisma and sexual tension.
Like, he literally has the body. He has like the looks. Like, even though people think he has that creepy look too, that's what I like about his character, because it's like, he's a very nice kid. He's very respectable, but like his look is like he's very serious. Like, he has that death look. Like, some of the girls in the anime were like, whoa, 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 like, why is he staring at me like that? And it's just his normal look. But it's also like with him, right? He needs to open up more. And he also needs, like you said, those insecurities, like get over certain things. We didn't really know too much about his family, right? Because it's like he just lives by himself. So there has to be more to him, you know, that we might get to learn about, because he's very shy. He has a lot to open up with. And he definitely has his moments where he's scared or he's afraid or something, but we don't see it all because it's like he doesn't want to reveal it all at once. So there's something there that we need to dig more into with him.
Of course. But while she was like getting all angry and upset, that small purse that she had, mm-hmm. knocked him straight in his temple, knocked him straight out. She could have walked away, pretend like he was not there, and just left him on the ground. But instead, she got help. She at the bleachers. She stood there, put his head at his lap, and basically said, you can't move because your neck's somewhat broke, so you can't move. And then that's when he was like kind of spilling the beans, saying, mm-hmm. you know what? Even though you treat me like a sack of shit, I kind of bang with you. I want to hang out with you more. And I think that's what kind of like shook her. Mm-hmm. And that wow moment, like, wow. If a loner guy like him, that's her favorite word that like she likes to say to tease him, which that's another thing, if you didn't realize, she loves to tease. Usually a guy yeah. loves to tease, but she's teasing. I hate to be rude, but she's acting more of a guy than the guy himself.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, usually I think it's great that she's the main character, because you actually see that she's, you know, more outgoing, and she does kind of have those guy traits sometimes where she's like shooting her shot and she's teasing, flirting, and he's kind of like quiet, like kind of like a typical girl, you know, like she's just like going at it, you know, picking his brains and trying to mess with him. And then he kind of messes with her back, but like, you know, and the only guy trait that I think he has is that sometimes guys, we don't really talk or say much all the time. And, you know, he's into like video games, so he don't really got much to say to her, but she's talking a lot. So that's the only dynamic that I see, is like kind of like a normal girl guy dynamic. I thought that he should have been the main character in the beginning, but then I realized like, oh, nah, I think it's good that she's the main character.
All right.
Because she's kind of sparking everything.
Because speaking about that, there was a scene where they were in that haunted house and his mans was like, yo, I thought it would be usually the opposite, where the girl would get scared and he would be the strong, you know, oh my God, I'm going to save you, like white knighting right. it. And the same way you laughed at the second season when he took the notebook and slapped her butt, I laughed because I had that same mentality. I said, wow, two minds think alike, man. Like two minds, because usually it would be girl gets frightened, hide behind the guy, or like jumps on the guy's like chest. And the guy's like, you know what? I'm here. I'll protect you and all that stuff. But instead it's the opposite.
Oh, what? Yeah. Like when they got scared and stuff, like she was trying to protect him and he was scared in the woods. And I'm like, oh, man. Like
that was my.
He's definitely acting like a girl sometimes. No
offense. That was my laughable moment. That was my laughable moment right there.
Not that guys can't be afraid, but it's like, you know, girls typically look for the guy to be like, even if you're afraid, that like, you got to man up and try to be like, all right, look, everything's going to be good. And he was just terrified. She had to be like, all right, everything's going to be okay. Like,
like I said, that was my laugh of the moment. And I wasn't laughing because he was scared, because I don't take people when they have phobias, like I don't take that, you know, as a joke.
Right.
But I laughed because I thought of the same exact thing as what he said. And it shows like, you know, a little like kind of like imaginary bubble of what it would look like in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, two minds actually think alike in this situation, in this episode. And I laughed. I was like, wow, I was thinking the same exact thing what he said. But let me just do this one. Let me do this last debunk statement, which I think this one was the most stupidest one of all. The dumbest one. Uzaki looks so young as a college student. Now, the reason why I said this has to be the most dumbest one ever, Not even 30 seconds, 15 seconds within the show, it showed his age, it showed her age. 3 years later, it showed his age, it showed her age. Every other character
besides, I didn't even notice that either.
Yes, it showed it. And I'm like, so we're not going to just deny the fact that it actually said his age at the top of the screen? Because on the bottom, that's where the dialogue is. But on the at the top of the first episode, Shiniki Shurikai, junior, college, age 19.
Right.
Uzaki Hanahuzaki, college freshman, age, not, I'm bad. His own was age 22, my bad. I made a mistake. Age 19. I'm just like, the age is up there. 3 years later, 19 plus three is how much, bro? Come on, do the math. It 22. Says it right at the, not literally. Even, within 30 seconds before they played the intro. 30 seconds, it shows you on the top.
So that kind of shows that like people who are criticizing it aren't really paying attention at all to the show.
Thank you. I was about to say something like that, but you just basically hit the nail in the coffin. This shows you how society does not pay attention to the fine detail. It just jumps the gun. And it just annoys me. But like I said, if you really care, I feel society loved this show more than they hate it. Because, like I said, if you didn't like the show, a lot of people will not watch it. YouTubers will not review it. Podcasters will not review it if you didn't like the show. I'm going to be blunt and tell you, I like the show. This is my first.
I like it too. I would want to definitely see more.
I'm definitely going to see it. And like I said, if you're down, Pablo, if you're down, I'll make a season two recap as well.
Oh, for sure. We're definitely going to
and kind of do a transition how season one, season two is better than season one. I can't wait for it.
I can't either, man.
But a summary of how do you feel about it before we go and everything?
Like I said, I'm glad there's a season two either coming out, right? Is it coming out or the manga's and stuff already out, but like the season two anime show
is in the works. Is in the works.
Is in the works. So I'm very glad that that's, you know, going to happen. Overall, I would my rating would be right now I would give it 5.5. The reason why I expect a little bit more, but listen, it's only season one, right? So for me, if season two really makes up and shows, you know, that conflict that we're looking for and it shows more of their dynamic, kind of explains some of those questions about the mom or like him and his family, the other main character, the co-main character. Like if we can see some of those things happen or we can have some answers to some of the questions that we had tonight, I'll definitely raise it to maybe like a 6 or 7. Very good anime, short, sweet. They just need to get to the point a little bit more. And I think, it's very entertaining. It's very funny. And the overall theme that people need to get is that, you know, college people don't have everything together. You could see that they're both, these two characters are trying to grow together, but also without even thinking about it. They're not thinking like, okay, I want this person to be my boyfriend or girlfriend. They're just thinking like, oh, I want to hang out. But the hanging out is really developing who they are, building upon their characters' traits that maybe they didn't reveal in high school. So that's why it's very good, because it's showing them growing up in the world and interpreting it in their own way, you know, because they're young adults. So if people are older watching the anime and they don't understand, try to go back to like your time when you were a young adult and, you know, when you were 21, 22, just fresh new adult. So that's kind of like how I see it. So I think it's a pretty good anime so far. I just can't wait till season two comes out.
I want to say that my rating, at first I wasn't sure, like I'll say 5, 6, 7. I would say the same thing, 7. And the reason why I said it is because it's a little bit different. I don't mind, you know, what the story is, because obviously, as what you said, certain things happen for certain reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, which the part I like is when give me more questions that I have to think about. I love that. I love the guessing game. I love suspense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need to work on is like, as I said, like do some of, come on, be realistic to some stuff and don't make the jokes too predictable. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to make a funny scene, make it clever. Don't make it stupid.
Exactly.
Come on, man. I don't like that. But I also, from what, if someone asks me what you're a, I was going to ask this question. If someone tells you what is a summary of season one and what's it about, which you already just said, just as you were fresh out of school, you had nothing to do. That's what would you tell them if they say, give me a summary of what season one is? That's what you would tell them?
100%.
I would come up and say, if I have to summarize season one to a random person, or they say, oh, you ever heard about it? What's it all about? I would say the moral of this anime, from what I watched so far, is even though you have a lot of things in life, a job, money, cars, everything. Even though if you're flourishing, even though you have a complete lifestyle, whether if it's you're being lonely, playing video games, you're by yourself, or you're friendly and all that stuff, there is that special connection and that special destiny and fate that you can't run from. And I think that's what's the problem with Surikai. He's trying to run from his fate from the day he met Uzaki.
Right.
So in his college days, even to this day where he's trying to run her out of the apartment, Uzaki's like, why are you running? Mm-hmm. Why are you running? What did I do wrong? And he still, even there were some parts where she's like, you still, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Tell me, what am I doing wrong? Be blunt, be honest with me. And then like during the end, he's like, well, and then that's when he's saying, that's when like he, his walls kind of like somewhat going down on Uzaki and saying,
right,
well, I remember you did help me out. You were a good person. And I tried to shoot my shot, which I hope they get into why he missed the opportunity and why he went from a guy who talks to her to a loner who does not want anybody to talk to, full of wants to be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they get into that in season two and other seasons ahead. But the moral I think is, even though you are you have everything in life, you can't run from fate and death. You can't run from fate.
I think that's a pretty good take on that. I mean, I definitely agree in some aspect too, because, you know, he's trying to run away from his problems pretty much. And it's like, or he sees her as a problem or he doesn't, you know, he's trying to run away, but it's like, it is what it is, right? If she comes up to you and y'all start hanging out and you start liking her again, that's your fate. You got to deal with it.
Yeah, you can't change it.
Is there anything else you wanted to add before we close this episode out?
No, sir. That is it. I said my piece. I went through everything. All right. Well, I am glad for this lovely opportunity. Everything's going good. And you can shout out your channel, everything. Let's go.
Yeah, guys, so you already know, it's Coden Pablo. You can check out my YouTube channel, and you can check me out on IG. Well, my YouTube channel is Ballin' with Coden Pablo, my IG, Twitter, and all that, and TikTok as well. I make some funny skits. It's just Coden Pablo. Mainly focus on basketball content, specifically NBA, NBA 2K, which you'll catch my man G over here. He's going to get the business from me, so we're going to have a video clip on my channel of us playing, and it's going to be, you know, really great. You know, the content that me and G are going to be working on. We're going to have some episodes on my, you know, on my channel where it's like we talk about basketball. There's actually an anime, a few basketball animes I want to do some reviews on in the future. And I'm probably going to promote that on my channel just because, you know, the channel's focused on basketball content. So there's going to be some crossovers. So if you want to check out the basketball content, you know, go check out my channel. And I'm really excited to be doing this podcast with you. So, yeah.
Alrighty. For me, what I'm probably going to do, I am going to also do like a lot of things with my man Coden Pablo here. We have a lot of things that's going on. One of the things that we're trying to do is what he just said, we're going to do like basketball gameplay, you know, on his channel. We're going to do some skits, some all that stuff. Also, what we're going to do is I'm going to do a lot of like reactions of different things because my channel is basically focused more on music. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do like epic rap battles of history, which I love epic rap battles. I'm going to do a lot of reviews on that. Any reviews like with certain things, I'm going to do that. I'm going to also put out some new music because, you know, I finally, as you guys didn't know, that I got a brand new laptop. Shout out to my man Coden Pablo with the mix, you know, shout out to him. I'm going to make a lot of music. We're also focusing on doing a collab on like a single. We're focusing on something. Also too, we're going to, as I said, 2K21, which Anthony, I got my player ready. So I just need to grind. I hope you're prepared. That's what I have to say. Since you hit me with that subliminal shot, that was uncalled for.
He's just upset because I beat him in Super Smash. So Super Smash Bros.
I'll give you the dub. I stopped playing Super Smash for so long. I will give you the dub. But another thing that you didn't tell the audience is Monster Hunter Rise. Me, my brother Kay, and another and a mutual friend, and you're in yours truly,
Odin Pablo.
We're gonna have a clan, and between all three of us, you're gonna get the hang of Monster Hunter. I'm gonna teach you some ropes and trades of that game. So Monster Hunter Rise coming up in March of this year. Also, too, we are in the works of, I'm trying to rebrand my podcast, which we're going to talk about. We're talking about that in a few. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention that, excuse me, by the beginning of January of 2021. We're also going to break down, I might keep the name, but I'm going to switch up my content. Because what I like a lot of people have told me, a lot of people that told me about it, and including Coden Pablo told me that the podcast is a little mixed up in this season. But also too, the reason why it's somewhat mixed up is because it's an experimental podcast, so that's why I'm doing it. But we are in talking of making a one strict podcast. What we're doing it for, we're gonna explain that in January 2021. And also too, new content I mentioned, new music, gameplay, rebranding of my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, we're gonna also drop some gems too. So And that's it for my plans. Also, too, follow me on Instagram. I rebrand my Instagram myself, too. It is not PHZY_IG3. That's not it anymore. It is infamous, INFAMOUS _GIO, and the number 3. That is my, that is going to be my new social name.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, in the works of making a TikTok, because it looks fun as hell. I'm not gonna lie, it looks fun. I'm gonna do that.
Thanks. Yeah, I gotta put them onto the little TikTok, you know.
Everything else is gonna be infamous GO3.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's gonna be. But with that being said, thank you for listening to Random Shit Podcast. We're also gonna do it on my YouTube channel, which I forgot to mention. We're gonna put a couple bits and pieces of the channel in both of our YouTube so it could get more production and everything. And that is my announcements between Gio, aka G, and Coden Pablo. Thank you for listening again. You guys have yourself a great day, and thank you.